Getting ready for game 6 on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is the Leaf Hour edition of our program. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. All right, game day. We had a show yesterday that reflected a lot on what happened in game 5, moving towards game 6. We'll get into game 6 a little bit more, but I just want to start off the show by asking you guys in the last 24 hours, the temperature out there.
Mm-hmm.
And is it much different than what Leaf Nation has gone through over the years? Was there much different from the 2 losses against Ottawa in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
And where's the comparison to what you felt or seen in the last little while here?
You know, it's actually been funny, Kip. Like, the Leafs fans I've talked to, and I'm talking about true Leafs fans who've been a part of this roller coaster over the years, almost to a man think they're going to win tonight.
Wow.
Like, every person I talk to, and part of it is a joke, like, oh, I think they're gonna get it tonight, and then they're gonna pull the rug out from under us again in game 7.
I know I've talked to a few of those people, not as many as you have, but there's some sort of feel like it would be very leafy,
yes,
of this club to win because no one expects them to.
They haven't hurt the fans enough yet, or you know, like they haven't achieved maximum pain by just going out tonight in game 6.
Sammy's chomping over there.
No, right.
So Sammy,
I'm not chomping. I would prefer to just be in a dark room and start the game.
Okay. Before you're not.
So here we go.
What have you heard from and watched either through various shows or the internet on where Leaf Nation is compared to years past? Same, different.
Quite frankly, Kip,
is it?
I haven't really been talking
a ton
of Leafs. Like, I over the past 24 hours or 48 hours, whenever that game, I've basically been talking to like the very close inner Leaf fan circles in my life and people professionally.
Yeah.
And outside of that, I haven't been doing a ton of Leafs.
Is it because you're out of the mud? It's all encompassing. Is it because this one hurt a little bit more than others?
So I don't want to start on a negative
note. No, I just want to get your feel.
The difference with this one is the Marner stuff with him leaving, and the reports are flying out here about all this stuff. And so I think a lot of Leaf fans, myself included, are sort of coming to grips with the most hope that they've had for an era of hockey since I don't know when, the early 2000s or whatever it is, that it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
That like what you've had so much, like I was watching today a clip of Austin Matthews' first playoff goal. It was in 2017 against the Washington Capitals. I cannot tell you how fast that went. I cannot tell you how not long ago that seems. And now we're here with 2 series wins in their franchise since those guys have come here. And I think a lot of Leaf fans are just starting to realize that it's kind of, as we know it, over unless they win 2 in a row against the best team in the league.
In the Mighty Ducks script here, this is exactly what happens before they pull it back from the brink. And
yes,
they get the best out of these guys and they white knight it through the finish line. And, you know, but in reality,
I want to believe that
3-2, and that's it.
There's still a chance here.
Yes,
but do you know what
for sure there is. I'm a believer that there is.
Do you think?
But do you know what I'm saying?
Do you think they're believers in the room? Because I don't know
yes,
how
we do.
And we've heard them talk about noise. We've heard them the reference to the noise. There's no way that they avoided the noise.
Can't avoid the
noise.
Can't avoid the noise unless it was through your phone in the lake.
So are they going in there tonight saying, we know we represent a city that has already quit on us?
I don't know. Is that you're not
I'm just asking?
You're not giving them a pass.
I'm asking
if that's the case.
Have they
I don't think the city's quit on him. I don't think so at all. I talked to my neighbor today walking to school. He went and bought two Leaf jerseys yesterday.
Okay. All right. I'm asking. Yeah. I'm not insinuating they've quit.
Yeah.
Everybody's quit. A lot of people have quit.
A lot of people have quit.
I think people view this team. I just don't know if the players would feel like the whole town's now quit on them or just they know
who cares? Who cares? Who cares? You're the hockey players.
It depends on if it motivates you or you go in there tonight and feeling like if they've quit, then what's there to play for?
Well, you're a professional, and there's to play for your pride, your career, your money, your everything. Okay. You know, it's...
Yeah, and we kind of talked about that before Game 5.
For sure. It hasn't been there. I'm not saying they're... I'm just saying I'm not willing. It felt to me like you're trying to be like, well, why would they even care today?
No. I've been a professional athlete. Yeah. I know. Like, and I don't buy into like they don't care, they don't quit. They're still a little lost on how to show it.
Yeah, they should be riddled with doubt. You know, they should be riddled with questions about the team. They've been doing this for years. But, you know, the reality is these teams are not 6-1 games. You know, Florida's not 5 goals better than the Leafs. I think you're going to see a hockey game tonight. I just, you know, what I was starting to say, and I think I may have used the metaphor, I think fans view this team as a Kentucky Derby horse with a broken leg. And they just want this thing over with. They just, if you're going to lose, just lose.
No, not just lose and then shoot the horse.
Put a bullet in the horse and let's be done with it. I don't think anyone wants to go into Game 7. Then you're going to get more doubters. Then you're going to get every Leaf fan say, there's no way they actually pull it through.
I sent out a poll today just to get a temperature check, asking simply if you have any hope left. Do you have any hope left?
I didn't see it. And
there was almost, I mean, there's 18 hours left in the poll. I should have done it shorter because I don't think they're going to be voting after the game tonight, but maybe they will. In you know, there's 1,600 votes on it. 56% of people say no. 43% of people say they do have hope left. So
43%.
There was
people chanting Leafs in 7.
Yes. And those are probably the people that voted yes on my poll.
Those are true fans.
If I can present a Leaf fan, you know, not win-win, because it's not win-win, but like a sense of calm heading into tonight, there's two outcomes here. You have a miraculous comeback where you win two games against the best team in the league, maybe. One there, one on home in Game 7, exercise demons, and you're in the conference final with a real shot of going to the final, okay? Mm. That is one outcome. The more likely outcome is you lose. Mm-hmm. You lose one of these next two games, and you go into the offseason, and so many fans that have wanted so much change and all this different stuff, you're going to get your wish. So it's kind of, for a lot of fans, a win-win situation. Like, you can go into this game knowing that if you hate the way they look, it's going to be over if they lose. Mm-hmm. And if you love this team and they win, well, they're in the conference final and you have some excitement. Like, I do think there's a sense of freedom going into tonight. I do.
That's interesting. The Luke Fox also has a poll. What's the feel today? And he has Panthers in 6, Leafs in 7, Panthers in 7 as options. Love this. Maple Leafs in 7 is 50.7%.
No way.
So
he's got different followers than me.
He's got Leaf fan followers. Half of Leaf fans, according to him, I have it more
60-40 for the fan base.
Do you know what the betting odds are? The betting odds give the Leafs a 18% chance of winning the series. 15% the other place I saw.
Yeah.
That's higher than I would even think.
You would think, really? Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance.
All right,
one in five and change.
We know where you guys are in terms of the team's mentality. Where does the head coach have his teams?
Let's play it.
Clip
one, please.
Well, Game 5 is over. So that's over with. Excited, ready to go. Go play.
Game 5 is over.
Sure is. Should we talk about the lineup?
I get the sense.
We did talk about the lineup yesterday. We said he's going to go down with the ship.
Before we move to that, can I ask you?
Yeah.
Like that Game 5 result and I'll ask you, just get the sense from that clip, that the result and the backlash to that, it feels like it genuinely caught him off guard with that clip to me. Like,
there's backlash to that?
No. Just him talking. Mm-hmm. Like, game five. Can you play it again, Derek? Clip one.
Well, game five's over. So that's over with. Excited, ready to go. Go play.
He understands this market. I get it. But, even him, maybe, after what happened after that game five and the way people talked about it, myself included, yeah. I think that maybe caught him off guard. Do you get that sense in that clip?
Yeah, maybe. You know?
No, I don't think he gets caught off guard. Okay. I just think he just dictates whatever he wants to dictate. And I'm not getting caught up in all of that. I don't need to explain anything. As far as he's concerned, he's moving on, and he can only control what he can control.
Yep. Fair enough.
I'm going to say something here that's going to sound positive to the point where you guys are going to hate me. But the last time the Florida Panthers lost a game 5-1 or 6-1 like the Leafs, Stanley Cup final, they lost 5-1 to the Oilers. Two games prior to that, they lost 8-1 to the Oilers. In the series, they lost 5-1 and 8-1. In the Stanley Cup final last year.
Was it game six they lost?
In Edmonton. 8-1?
They lost game 4-8-1 and game 6-5-1.
Oh, okay. I thought it was flipped.
Yeah.
Boys, good teams lose games badly. And I'm not saying we overreacted to last game. I am saying that this is not what I said initially. I don't think these teams are miles apart. Last game was terrible for the Leafs in every conceivable way. It's not going to be 6-1 tonight. And if it is, I will have a lot to say. Emotional damage.
Yeah. That's for sure.
They've got some weapons still. Say what you will about game five. Willie could find a way to make a couple of big plays. Austin and Mitch are still there. They didn't
become bad players.
Well, they didn't lose their talent.
Right.
In 48 hours.
A bounce, an opening, a seam.
Joseph
they can do
Wall,
it.
those are the things that you got to consider. It's sport.
Joseph Wall, yeah.
Joseph Wall.
Joseph Wall to me, if he's good tonight,
right.
Bob can have bad nights. We saw him in the first couple games, first three games. What'd he give up, 10 goals or something? It can happen.
Okay, let's go to Craig Berube on the lineup changes. We spoke of him momentarily, but let's get deeper thoughts on new old faces coming back. Or is it old new?
I liked our game with the other guys in the lineup. I made changes. We lost a couple, added some fresh guys, some fresh legs. Other guys are rested, ready to go, and we played good hockey with that lineup we have tonight.
I mean, he's not wrong. Old Nicky Robertson comes in, gets his Geno back in the press box for popcorn.
Yeah, I don't think the key is it's probably tonight. If I had to write a game story pregame, it's not going to come down to Pontus Holmberg and Cale Järnkrok.
No.
Is that a fair statement?
Very fair.
So
he did put him back with Holmberg, back with Tavares and Nylander. And that line was actually very complete. They weren't as good offensively, but they've been complete when they're together.
And he can't control the matchup. So he probably wants a more defensive mind on that line.
Yeah.
Kipper.
I know what you're trying to say with it's not going to come down to that. We know, of course, what you are insinuating. The big boys need to be the big boys. But if they happen to be on the wrong side tonight, then it does have something to do with it. And I've stayed consistent. The one thing that I know I've stayed consistent is my look at the left side all season long. And I know that Matthew Nyes is going to be a terrific hockey player and a power forward and all of that. But I still look at Matthew Nyes and he's not ready yet. Like he's not peak Matthew Nyes. No. And it's very difficult right now still in a development process to ask him to be a star left winger on a Stanley Cup team. And this is where it gets really, disappointing for me that you need now to come back to Pontus Holmberg and start him in a top six position on the left side. And then I don't know where you go from there. Lorenz and McMahon's been a major disappointment.
Yeah.
So I look at that left line, left side tonight, and I'm like, eesh.
Kipper, this hasn't been your take for this year.
Yeah, no,
this is since we started our show up on in the old studio on YouTube.
Yeah.
This has been your take. This is not a new thing for the Leafs. Sorry.
So that's
no,
and that's where you can look back and say, you guys kind of left it a little exposed there.
Mm-hmm.
You took your chances on McMahon, and I get it. I liked him. I saw the potential coming in to be a 25-goal scorer, heavy. There's times when he was physical. He'd drive to the net. He'd take one guy on his back with him.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's just nothing there.
Bobby McMahon looks good. Bobby McMahon looks like, you know, one of the 30 best offensive players in the league. When he's like flying and scoring and running into people, you're like, my God, we talked about how much, you know, more money he could have earned. And all of a sudden it's just,
can he give the Leaf fans a game tonight?
I thought for sure. And you know, he has had a few recently where he's streaking down and trying to take it to the net. I will say you can see him trying.
His last goal was against the Philadelphia Flyers on March 25th.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's now May.
All right. Well, that's just that's the only thing is Holmberg's going to come in and he will be bigger and heavier than Nick Robertson.
Yeah, and on the other hand, left wing on the top line for the Florida Panthers last game was Boakvist, Jesper Boakvist.
But he scored a big goal.
Yeah, but there are going to be soft spots in lineups, and could one of these guys do something like that?
And to be fair to Matthew Nyes, a lot of these games for me, he's been the most noticeable of the three. And he gets into the forecheck and he goes to the front of the net and he's good in the power play. Like, I don't think the least of my worries about the Toronto Maple Leafs is Matthew Nyes too. Yeah. Have you not liked his game, Kipper? As a top line left winger? Like, I think he's been pretty good in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think he's going to get so much better in a few years.
Yeah, but it's not a few years. Like, I think he's giving them enough for a top line player to me.
No, not for me.
Okay.
Not for me. And I'm not talking about the heavy forechecking, and I'm not talking about standing in front of the net and whacking one in. I'm just talking about overall poise and confidence to hold on to a puck and make better plays, better passes. Matthews, Marner, looking more like a number one line. Matthews isn't doing it. Marner's not doing it. And Nyes is not doing it for me in terms of looking like a number one line for me.
So then that kind of brings us to our next thing here is that they didn't switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would like to hear Berube on clip four on not splitting up Matthews and Marner.
It's always a consideration. I think, you know, I've split them up this year at times, and I never felt that it really did anything, to be honest with you. You know, these guys have been a combo for a long time, and they've had a lot of success. I mean, so I trust them. I trust in them. I believe in them.
This is the part, again, where I want 82 games in a regular season to have different looks just in case I need them in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
We've been all over that.
I don't know if it's 10 days or 2 weeks, but at some point, like, move it around. Keep these guys guessing a little bit. Make somebody bench somebody. Give somebody a healthy scratch. Move someone up in the lineup for a game or two and give them. It was just way too predictable all season long for me.
So I was looking for this, and I just found this article from Jonah Siegel in The Athletic, and he writes about Matthews and Marner together. And what Berube just say, he said that they've been a good combo for years or whatever. Here are the number of assists for Marner on Matthews' 5-on-5 goals in the past six postseasons, including this one: 0-1-1-2-0-1.
Really?
So you have no Marner to Matthews connections in the playoffs. And now Matthews hasn't scored many goals in the playoffs, so that's part of it.
Yeah.
But like this, My point, guys.
But then if you did it during the regular season, it'd probably be as high as any pair.
For sure.
Right?
For sure. But
and that's what he's going by, the regular season.
And my point is he shouldn't be. There's enough sample in the playoffs to go, there's no reason to believe that this duo is unbreakable. We have to play these two together. So to your point, I would have liked to have seen some more combinations throughout the year to have something else to go to. We know he doesn't like Nylander with Matthews. Well, now what? You know, kind of feel like you're running out of options.
And I know he's probably the only one he's really, truly that I've seen anyways double shift is Nylander on occasion. Mm. And even to have, I don't know why he wouldn't do it for Matthews or Marner, but it's just Willie.
I see your point.
In my point.
If you need to slip Mitch out there.
I'm watching Peter DeBoer with Rantanen, and he's got Rantanen out there, of course, with his number one line with Roope Hintz. But then he'll drop Rantanen down, and he'll give him 5 or 6 minutes.
Because Rantanen is unbelievable.
He'll give it to he'll move him with Steele on the fourth line. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
no one goes to prison. They just it's okay.
But go to your horses, and he never did it at any point at all where it's like, just get some different looks here. You may need them, and he's not. He's no different than Sheldon. It's like, I got two choices, right? Matthews and Marner's together or Tavares with Marner?
What's funny is Sheldon used to take those two pairs, set them aside, and put the rest in a blender. You know, but Berube's just kind of likes it the way it is. This is what we trust, what we believe in, and off we go.
It's just, you know, something that we haven't really looked at much.
Why?
Are you and Derek on good drop-in?
Big hug after the show.
Big hug.
Told him I loved them. We've worked together for almost 12 years now.
Yes.
Wait, why do you think that? You think it's the penalty kill stuff where it's like they already carry such a heavy load? Like, what is it? Is that the reason? Like, that you can't stick them out there with Lorenz and Lawton for a shift?
It is a reason, though, to keep them together as a pair because you do PK them and you don't get your lines all mumbo-jumboed. But then you don't have to PK them as a pair either.
No, but you do now because you took Kampf back out. So
yeah.
You do.
Boy, Kampf, tough. If this is how his season ends, tough going into next year.
All right, you guys want to get a thought from Berube on the bottom six?
Yes, I do.
And then let's do goaltending before we...
All right, let's flip.
We did get contributions last series a little bit from them, and we got a goal from Max Domi this series. Yeah, we do need them to chip in if it's, you know, that's important for sure. And it's not, you know, it's not like they're not trying to score. You know, they just got to keep doing what they're doing and, you know, see what happens, I mean, with goals. But you're right, we do need contributions from everybody.
Tough when you watch Florida get goals last game from Boakvist, Greer, Gadjevich. I don't think it wasn't him.
Every
defenseman.
Mikola.
Yeah.
Mikko Makala.
Pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the true test of having like real depth is when guys can come in and find a way to contribute here. And I mean, Robertson, we had written off in November, December. He stuck around enough to play 70 games, put him in once, and going right back. And
it's not like he had a good game, but he scored.
My point is, did they have enough depth to really start this thing when you look at it?
I think so. 14 guys. You could use one more high end guy, right? One more.
Like, just to slot everybody better.
Like turn Lawton into, you know, take your pick of guys who are available at the deadline, I guess.
But not to zoom out too much here, fellas, but this is the flaw. Mm-hmm. Where
they don't have enough money to spend on anyone else. And
you pay four guys a lot of the money. You need those guys. Like, I mean, we've had this conversation a million times.
I know.
It just feels like kind of Groundhog Day, blaming the severely underpaid, underutilized bottom six for lack of production. When it's the top guys that have a lack of...
You know what kills me about the whole thing, though? Is, like, when Dubas gave those guys the initial contracts, the idea was, like, as the cap goes up, they're going to be in a good spot. obviously the pandemic, cap didn't go up, yada, yada. And now that we're on the cusp of the end of the Core Four era, the cap's about to go.
Yeah, good timing.
You know?
Very
and
leafy.
It's like, yeah, and then it's going to be, well, we just don't have enough elite guys. We can't, you know.
Did you see Kivert? Just win a couple games here, boys.
Win just tonight.
Win just tonight? Just,
well, just focus on just getting through tonight.
Do you want Maurice on game six or do you want to talk Joe Woll?
Let's talk Joe Woll, and then we'll play the one clip from Maurice.
Okay. I said yesterday, very disappointed in terms of Joseph Woll's overall look coming in relief on Stolarz. I expected better. I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Leaf fans didn't get it. But he is a talented goalie.
Yeah.
Like his forwards.
Yes.
As long as there's a game, you wait for it again.
Yeah. He's certainly capable of having a good one. With the goaltending, there's nothing to do or say. You defend in front of him the best way you can, which let's not forget, that's supposed to be the strength of this group, is limiting high danger chances. And you just go, hope he's good tonight. That, by the way, is like the one thing that could pull the rug out on my thought that they'll win tonight. Is like if Woll's bad, he has to be good or there's no chance.
I don't think that's any different for anyone else out and including Bobrovsky, who the first two games was as leaky as anything we've ever seen in his prior years in Columbus. But he shut it down.
Yeah.
You get the feeling that you're going to need early a couple, because they're going to come out on fire. Their building will be on fire.
I expect the Leafs to come out on fire.
I don't know. I have no idea. That's the thing where I've just gotten to the point where I really don't know what this game's going to look like at all. And you could convince me of a lot of different outcomes. But so it's very unpredictable to me tonight.
I think Florida, for the Leafs to win tonight, Florida's kind of got to look like the first two games in this series.
How hurt do you think the Leafs are? I mean, I know everyone's hurt at this time of year. Like, it feels like they're pretty healthy.
I mentioned Chris Tanev yesterday, and I don't know what the count total on hits on him, but it was like almost 50% more than the second guy in the playoffs. He got hit, like, he's been hit 80 times, and the second guy was like at 40, I don't know what.
I just saw 2 years of Mike Babcock coaching in Toronto, and all he wanted to do was hold up the forecheck, interference, slow down the forecheckers. You know, they're all penalties. But, like, is no one holding anyone up? Like, it's just a complete highway to Chris Tanev's shoulders?
Buddy.
You look at the Panthers.
They're not even paying a toll.
This isn't the 407, maybe.
No, it's not the 407.
Well, it's not the 401. They wouldn't be moving quickly either, so I don't know what it is. But, the Panthers are so good at that when you try to dump and chase on them. Somebody's always got an arm out. Somebody's always leaning in your way. Like,
totally agree.
Really hard to get a clean forecheck against them.
And it was early in game five. And a lot of the times this year, we know that the Leafs like to work below the goal line and find that little outlet in the middle of the ice and work their way up. And Matthews tried it, and it was like nothing but Panthers everywhere.
Yeah. They're good. It is a true strength of that team, but you know it's a strength of that team, so need some solutions.
Can I there's no way that one of the most prolific goal scorers since he's entered the league is going to go six games in a playoff series without scoring, right?
Oh, there's a way.
Six games?
He is
11
shooting
straight against the Panthers. He's not going to score a goal.
Let's see if I can find the shooting percentage of the Leafs' top point getters in playoffs. It's like 17, 14, 4.9 for Matthews, 13, 18, 23, 20. Like, Matthews is 4.9. He's the one on the team that has a sub 5%
shooting.
There has
to be a power play goal in there tonight.
Four?
Like, at least, like, Scheifele shot one off Harley's skates last game. You know, everything's going off everyone. Matthews has 41 shots in 11 games. Two goals. A couple can't go off something?
Two goals on 41 shots it's hard to.
Even if your wrist is broken, 41 shots should lead to a few more goals.
The wrist thing. In no world of mine is a guy taking faceoffs if he has a wrist issue.
I don't think he has a wrist issue.
I don't think he has a wrist issue either. Okay, it's not happening.
No.
You're not taking face-offs with a wrist issue.
Do not think he has a wrist issue.
So what's left?
Wrist issue stuff to say.
What's
shoulder
left?
Surgery.
What's left?
Back.
Okay. Ask Tan of how his back is.
Well, it's not good.
Yeah.
Well, it's not good.
Well, it's not good.
So right. I don't want to hear it. I really don't. I want to hear, you're hurt, don't play. Next.
I just said, if his wrist is broken, you would expect a higher shooting percentage than that. It is in, yeah, some's luck. Yes, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so we do have one Marchand clip.
Oh, delightful.
And I just would like to point out how incredibly good at this Brad Marchand is. And this is from Morning Skate today. Can we play clip one, Brad Marchand, please, on game five?
It wasn't that one-sided when you look at it. Obviously, we got a couple of bounces, and that can dictate the outcome. But, I mean, they had a lot of opportunities that, like I said, the bounces are a huge – they play a huge component of the playoffs, and we got more than they did last game. You know, they had a breakaway early. They had to post early when it was 1-0. Like, things like that change the course of a game, and, you know, it just kind of got away from a little bit. But I don't think that the score – was really an indication of how the game was played and how close it actually was. But it doesn't matter anyway. It has no impact on the game tonight. They're, if anything, it's going to make them hungrier, you know, to have a bounce back game and you know, to prove a lot of people wrong, which is a very dangerous combination. So
he's the best.
We have to bring our best game tonight. There's no questions about that.
We'll just be happy to even be in the game tonight.
So nice.
Oh, yeah, he's the best. Oh, the Leafs are going to be on fire tonight. Who could beat the Leafs tonight?
I think really one of the signs of me like growing in my Leaf fandom and just being older in general.
Appreciating that.
I just can't hate him anymore.
Yeah.
I can't hate him. I just... After all these years,
respect.
He's still so good. He's
That's
still
you just saying, Brad, you win.
But he's the Leafs' papa. He's the Leafs' papa. This is, if they win, it's a 5-0 in the playoffs against him. Scored a million goals against him. Like,
yeah.
What can I say? He just owns the Leafs.
Owns the Leafs.
He's
even with those comments today. Like,
that's the most perfect quote of all time.
Where you really wish he would, you know. Just be the dirty rat that you are and just say, yeah, they sucked.
The Leafs
sucked.
Really good.
They
sucked. We just got a couple bounces in 1-6-1. We just got a couple bounces.
That's so.
And they're going to be better tonight, but they sucked that night.
Yeah.
So no, not at all. Nope. They're the best. See?
Buddy.
They're the best.
Just like, I mean, we got a taste of it with Team Canada before the game. I don't know how we could beat them.
No bulletin board material.
They got a team full of Hall of Famers. Like, they're just unbelievable.
If we're even in this game, it'll be a miracle.
It's the best. You want to play in Paul Maurice? Last one?
Sure.
On game six.
Yeah, a little Paul Maurice for you. Yeah. You got John Cooper too?
No.
Okay. All right. Just Paul then.
Yeah.
Maybe the environment changes, but every team is going to do that exact idea. Ours as well, every single game, right? You're coming out and it's playoffs, so you're getting flat out the other team's very best. We would have possibly a desire advantage in that. You're right there for a prize. They clearly will have a desperation advantage because the team that controls those things the best has the best chance to win. It's almost the same manifestation of what happens in a game. When you want it that bad, you start making plays to get it, right? You want to win the game every time you touch the puck. And when you've got that desperation, it's the same idea. You get it. You want to make something happen every time. So... You want to control those emotions a little bit, keep the energy, and no secret plays.
The hell's he talking about?
Honestly, he talked for 11 minutes today, boys, and that was the only really like thing I understood, and I barely understood it.
What was that?
I'm just at that at the point. They could lose Game 7, the Leafs, but make them get on a plane. Make them come to a hotel.
Inconvenience
make
them.
Like, there's not one guy on the Florida Panthers right now that wants to get. They want to win tonight and go back and sleep in their bed and get like 4 or 5 days off.
Forget the Leafs. Gear up for Carolina, where no one's going to ask them any questions.
Make them pack.
Make them
print
pack.
The t-shirt.
Make them pack.
Make them pack.
Make them pack.
Pick out the socks.
Hey,
oh, what a hassle.
Just a toothbrush, probably, yeah. Marchand. Yeah. Just a toothbrush.
You're
in
not
his,
wrong,
in
though.
His jacket.
Can you imagine that? You have that begrudging, like, oh,
yes, it's
go
the
back
worst.
To that. And some it's more
customs
questions.
And
customs.
Make him go through customs.
3.5 hours. What's Florida, Toronto? Three?
Nah, sure.
Three plus?
It's really not that bad. Yeah. They both have like 3 beautiful meals on the flight and play cards.
Hey, stale cookies. No. They.
Yeah, it's Florida. You're right.
Florida Panthers.
I don't know if their owner can get anything these days.
All right, what else we got, Sammy?
Let's hit the break and we'll come back and do Leafs Line.
Leafs Line. You've heard from us way too much. We want to hear from you next on Sammy's Leaf Line when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
The best Blue Jay show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, a segment that we started, I don't know, halfway through the season.
Mid-January?
And yeah, it's
mid-January.
It's my favorite.
Leaf Line, where you get to take over the show.
Yes, you do. And the Leafs Line is brought to you by Muskoka Bay Resort, a top 10 ranked Canadian courts, part of the Freed Golf Network. Interesting calls today.
Oh, yeah?
In terms of just
how are people feeling?
Let's start
60-40.
Let's start. I don't know. I don't know where you get your percentages from. Let's start with
you guys.
Let's start with Terrace in Hamilton.
Hey, guys, it's Terrace from Hamilton here again, and I got a feeling we might not win the Cup this year, but you know what I do know? We're going to win tonight, because we got to. That way they can inflict the maximum amount of pain upon this fan base on Sunday. Jesus. Thanks for a great year, boys. You did a great job. Well, at least you did. Go Leafs, go.
Terrace.
Jeez.
Terrace, if you're listening, repeat after me. Make them pack. Make them pack.
Slightly inconvenience them.
Yes.
I mean.
He's on board.
I just love, that should probably be a drop. Jesus.
What would be the maximum pain?
Like a good hearty win tonight where you feel, oh, Matthew scores 3.
Yes.
You know, Marner's awesome. They find it. They look electric. Wall's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah,
they've got it.
Well.
And the same thing to me happens in game 7 where the Leafs play great. Matthews and Marner both score. They're buzzing. They go to overtime.
See?
And they lose on a fluky goal. And then we get to have the conversation. But Matthews and Marner, yes, they were really good in those 2 games.
Yeah.
They were really, but maybe, well,
as,
run it back.
As ugly as game 5 was.
Yeah.
This is the part where we all go, you're telling me there's a chance, yep, but they have another night to prove to everybody that it is different.
Yeah.
It is different.
Redemption's available.
I
don't believe you.
It's just, thank God you've got another opportunity and it didn't end on that game 5.
So true. You know,
you should just, alone on that, you should feel really good going to the rink tonight.
I appreciate the feedback I got in my article, The Absence of Greatness, that I wrote the other night. But, you know, in it, I feel like I didn't close the door on the possibility.
Well, you're very optimistic in general.
Okay, that's fine. It is. But it's not over. And it's so weird to be like,
true. It is true. It's not over.
So anyway.
So.
Okay, to that point, let's go to Davey in Dublin.
Quick question. If the Leafs go to Florida, and let's say they equal out, you know, with 2-1 or 3-1, whatever, and they get it back to game 7 and they win, is Marner owed an apology? You know, they're being absolutely ridiculed from everyone. You know, Bunkus was ready to kill 6 of them yesterday. But on a serious note, would they be owed an apology from the fans and Toronto media for the absolute lashing they're after taking? Thanks, boys. Love the show.
That's a That's a really great question.
Absolute lashing.
Lashing.
Yeah.
That's great.
And
no.
The answer is no.
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 The answer is no. It's there's just has to be an acceptance in this market that when you play well, you get all the accolades, you get commercials, you get this, you get that, and then when you don't, they pound on you here.
Yep.
They'll absolutely pound on you, and that has to be one of those things where if you're a Leaf, you understand it, and if you're on the outside, you go, oh my God, would I really want to play in that market?
And, you know, we do the analysis based on what has happened in real life. And we have been, in my opinion, a try to be fair. And if the information changes and they do awesome stuff, I will adjust and I will give praise and I will applaud. But I don't think it would make what we said previously incorrect or apology worthy, if, for that matter.
If they go to play against Carolina, whenever that will start, I will say right now, I will fully apologize. I will apologize. And then I'll get mad all over again when they're playing like crap against Carolina. But for that one day.
Carolina just fails them in four calls.
I will apologize. I've apologized. Yeah, I'm a very guilty conscience. I've apologized my whole life.
We got locked in cameras, but you'd end up on your knees apologizing if it meant going to a conference final.
Correct. I don't have
he I'm would do some shorts unholy today. Things to yes. make that happen.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. Let's go to, okay, so. As positive, I guess, as the first two kind of were.
Uh-oh, here comes the...
Do you guys want to get into the mud a little bit?
I don't, but I think our caller will.
Alex in Oak Ridge's place.
My take today is I think the other night showed us, and I think we can all agree, that some changes need to happen. Some changes are overdue after 9 years, and that includes exploring... trading Austin Matthews. I think he could use a fresh start too after everything he's gone through over here. I think a team like Utah with a lot of young, controllable players would be an attractive destination to land a player like Austin Matthews. They'd love to have him on their team. And it could be a great opportunity with a lot less pressure and closer to home for him. And they've got players like Keller and Gunther and... probably a plethora of picks. I'm not sure what their cupboard looks like. But yeah, that's my thought. What do you guys think? And that would leave us a lot of extra money to play with over the next couple of years.
It's just so hard to get top-end guys. So hard.
Well, first of all, Alex, I will tell you this, that in the last 24 hours, for some of my contacts or some of the people that I talk to daily, like that's the conversation people are having behind the scenes.
I've got that question way more.
What does it look like if they lose tonight and where do they go moving forward? And now's not the time to have that conversation. I don't know if Monday morning will be.
Monday might be.
Right? May not be as you prepare for life maybe with Carolina. We don't know until we know. But Alex's comment is more real with conversations than I've had. So you're telling me there's a chance. Mm-hmm. There's more of Alec in that conversation, including Matthews. In all probability, and I've said this, you don't get past Florida. We know Marner's gone, and where do they go moving forward? That, Alex, is a real conversation that's been going on with many of us.
Yeah, he's 6'3", 220, won the Hart Trophy. He's, you know, Jack Eichel, you know, had his start to the career in Buffalo, and everyone's like, you know, this guy, all the negativity, whatever. He goes to Vegas, plays on a good team, they win a cup, and all of a sudden, anyway.
Let's switch up the vibes.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mary in Vaughn, with I believe a poem. Mary in Vaughn.
What's up, Kipper? Hey, Borny. Hi, Sammy McGee. I watch your show religiously. I tune in each day for some expert's advice. Hey, if the Leaf team did too, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, I've been a Leaf fan for so many years. And so what if the playoffs has reduced me to tears? I hang on to the hope that our hope heroes come through and make all of my Stanley Cup dreams come true. So I cheer, I believe while I watch every game, and I pray to Lord Stanley this year won't end the same. It's not over yet, folks. Game six is finally here. We still have the time to proclaim this is our year.
Yes.
The thrill beats in my heart and refuses to slow as I chant for my team.
See,
go. Oh, well, I guess I cut her off.
Go, Leafs, go. See, the night before Christmas theme there.
I will say this, that...
love you, Mary.
We know...
Yeah, thank you for the effort on that. That was awesome.
The Leafs are the most envious team in the league. They're the richest team. They're the team that pisses everybody off because they have a lot of power. They get Vancouver fans to change their time, right?
My favorite thing of the year.
But it's not the money that they make, right? It's not the attention that they get. They're most jealous of fans like Mary.
Yeah.
Because they don't have many Marys.
No.
They don't have as many Marys on their team as the Leafs do.
The Marys per 60 here is high. They have a lot of lovely fans.
We just got text. I think we're going to lose game six just because of that.
Can you... Hey, see, you can't tell that and laugh at the same time. Did you understand him?
Yeah.
Because he just said it like he's got a mouth full of marbles.
Someone texted and said, I think we're going to lose game six because of that poem.
One quick
warrant. Don't listen to it. It's a great poem.
One quick warrant. Let's go to Hunter from Toronto to fire us up at the end.
Yeah, it's not looking good. Guess what? They're professional athletes. You're down 3-2. Yeah, it hurts. Yeah, it sucks. But you know what's better than going into the Sunshine State? Is making it rain!
Yes!
In the Florida tonight. You take a win. You don't take a win. You steal a win. Because the last thing Paul Maurice and his island of misfit toys want to do is go back to Toronto.
Make them pack.
Make them
so you
pack.
Take the win and go back. And listen to all the people like me and the three of you and everybody on social media and maybe secretly all of the players' friends in the group chats are thinking this team is cooked. They might be, but isn't that fun when there's no expectations? Isn't it fun when you can, when the bar is so low you stub your toe?
But every day on this show.
Get a win tonight and then break my heart on Sunday when you lose in game seven. That's all. Have a good day.
Buddy, he should give the pregame speech. They should pipe it in.
Fly him in right now. It's not too late. Can you get down there in 3 hours for puck drop?
Make them pack.
That's the theme of the day.
Anyways, the Leafs line was brought to you by Muskoka Bay Resort, a top 10 ranked Canadian course, part of the Freed Golf Network. And Sportsnet and Muskoka Bay Resort are excited to kick off a contest to give away an incredible stay and play package for four, retailing for $4,500. All you have to do is text Muskoka to 59590 to enter and visit sportsnet.ca/590contest for more details. Standard message and data rates may apply.
Nice job, Sammy. Nice job, Freed Golf Network. All right, boys, dare I say it or ask it?
What do you got?
Give me a score tonight.
So, the one thing I did want to add to this is that even if they're not the most competitive, the Stars are this like fire or whatever, there's a lot of incentive to not go out like last game, right? To not embarrass yourself, to at least put forth a prideful effort. I think tonight goes to overtime, and I don't know if they're going to get the bounce or not. I'll take the positive view and say they win 3-2 in overtime, but I think it's going to be close hockey.
I've said Florida in game seven, so that means they win tonight.
I said Leafs in seven, so give me the Leafs 2-1 in triple overtime.
2-1.
Triple overtime. Triple overtime. Triple overtime. We got Leaf talk after.
All right.
Triple. We've been blessed. There hasn't even been a double from the Leafs talk era.
We've got some Jim Carrey vibes here. There's a chance.
Oh, by the way, and we'll be on holiday
so
Monday.
You're telling me there's
so
a
we're
chance.
Coming back on Sun after Sunday. We'll be back on holiday Monday.
There you go. Producer spoke.
There you go.
Real Kipper and Bourne on Monday. Okay. That is one quick hour preparing for Game 6 for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We go national next with you-know-who, Doug McClain. We're back after these words.